You're listening to Pastor Bill Sirjak.
Hear now the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And the book of Colossians, first chapter and the 16th verse. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. And all things were created for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Thank God that He has not left us alone to know what He is like, but has revealed Himself in a way that we can understand by becoming a man in the person of Christ, and that revelation is accurately attained for us, and this is Holy Word. In seminary, when we studied the Bible, we began our study with the 12th chapter of Genesis, and that's when God calls Abraham to begin to make of him a people. That's kind of what directed our study, the people of God coming together. First of all, within the Jewish nation, and then later through Jesus Christ, and finally within the Church of Jesus Christ. So that is the way that we began the study. Unfortunately, there's 11 chapters in the Bible that come before that 12th chapter. Those 11 chapters provided a great illumination for us to be able to understand the rest of the book. One of the first things that you might notice, it says, in the beginning, God. And really, if you look at the Hebrew in that section, it's really in beginning, God. There's no direct article in there. There's no "the" in the original Hebrew. And you might wonder, well, big deal. What difference does that make? In a way, you can kind of begin to get a little bit different concept of the way God perhaps worked. We tend to think God's working is kind of like on a timeline. And there's a start of the timeline and there's an end of the timeline. And we're somewhere along the way in between. And it could be that way. And most translators put in the "the." So that would be in the beginning of the timeline. But if you're thinking in terms of just in beginning, then you start thinking in terms of God being the very core of everything. It's not just so much as in a timeline, but it's God starting everything. And God, as it says in the book of Colossians that we read in that second part, it is God is there and He holds things together. He's at the source. He's at the core of everything that is going on in our world and in our universe. That can be looked upon as a physical thing, that God is holding the universe together. All the planets and stuff like that revolve and set pattern around the sun. All the patterns in the universe come together in certain patterns and they follow certain patterns. But really, even the things that we call solid matter are really made up of molecules and they need to be held together. We call it molecular force, but we don't know why it's there or why it happens. It's just that molecules are held together. If you heat something up, the molecules get more activity in them, and they get further and further apart. And so in the solid, the molecules are relatively close. As you liquefy or melt the solid, it becomes a liquid, they get further apart, and as they become a gas, it gets even further apart yet. The activity of the molecule overcomes some of the force that is holding it together. Now, really, that's the way everything that we call stuff is. That's the way the floor is, the way the walls are, the way the piano is, the wires in the piano. They're all made up of molecules like that, that are held together by a molecular force. If the molecular force ever stopped holding things together, then things would just come completely apart. Everything would melt down. So in a way, what the book of Genesis might be saying is that right there at the core, the beginning that holds everything together is God. And He's the one that is still holding the world together. It wasn't just that He made the world a long time ago and then He left it. It's like He's still at the very core of the universe holding things together. That can also be pictured in our lives, because our lives can begin to become the same kind of chaotic thing. As our lives just sort of become a movement from one thing to another, with no real meaning or no real joy in our life. Part of that might be because There's no God there. We are just sort of like the individual molecule bouncing from one place to another. Nothing is holding our life together. And it doesn't hold very much meaning. And one of the things that God does in beginning at the core of our life is that He comes in and He starts bringing order to our life. As we begin to know Him, He begins to become the one that puts our lives together, holds our lives together, if you will, as it says in Colossians. As we begin to worship God, as we begin to know Him, He brings us into a type of order. And that's part of what God can be doing right now. The way a lot of people look at their life is just finding different ways of being able to fulfill their desires. We have certain desires, and so what life then is all about is finding ways of fulfilling those desires. So we tend to live that way, and we tend to put our lives together that way. Some people even put marriages together that way, as they begin to think that the purpose of my spouse is to meet my desires, not only sexually, but also my desire for being accepted, being appreciated, being loved, being cared for. That's my spouse's responsibility to meet that. And when our spouse fails to meet that, then we have a tendency to say, well, must have married the wrong person. So we'll try to find someone else who will maybe better meet our desires. And in reality, what God is always calling us to do is to begin to move into a life of order, to begin to put our lives together the way God would have them be put together. He is the one who begins to hold all things. The purpose of our life then is not to just fulfill our desires. The purpose of our life is to begin to fit into God's order. So when we get married, we begin to build a marriage together. We begin to build a new thing, something that hadn't existed before. In a way, we begin to become a part of the creation of God, and that we build something that is really outside of ourselves, that in some ways we have to give up ourselves in order to be able to do. And we build that together. But we begin to then participate in the order that God has created. We begin to reflect that order in the way we live our lives, our marriages, all the things, the way we put together our life. We don't put together our life just to be the most thoroughly entertained, or put together our life to most completely meet our desires. But we begin to put together our life the way God put together the universe, by beginning to have a created order of the way we live, and the way we put our life together. That's one of the things that I think is in the way we begin to look at that. Another thing you also notice in the very beginning is that it is God who is doing the creating, and it is God who has existed for all time. And He is the one who is at the core of the whole of the universe. And this kind of flies in the face of all the other religions that were around the Jews at that time. The other religions worshiped various parts of the creation. The Egyptians worshiped the sun. Others worshiped the moon. Some worshiped bulls. Some worshiped snakes. They worshiped different places of the creation. They thought that somehow the creation would give them meaning, that something in the creation would be strong enough to make their life worthwhile. And sometimes people even went from God to God, as they went from one thing to another, to another, to another, to try to be able to find something that makes their life real and meaningful. People do the same thing today. Maybe if a Volkswagen won't make your life meaningful, maybe a BMW will. Or if somehow that this size house won't make your life meaningful, maybe a bigger one will. Or if these friends won't really make your life worthwhile, you change those friends and get some other ones. We start going for different things in the creation that we can begin to think will make our lives worthwhile. One of the first things that is said here is that God is the one who is in the beginning. God is the one who is at the core, and who is the one who holds all things together. So it is only through God that we can begin to find a life that is full and a life that is worthwhile, because our relationship to Him is what is at the core, what is at the center of our being. Augustine said to God one time, "You created us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in you." Our hearts were created to be able to know God and to be able to love Him. That is going to be at the core of what finds meaning in our life. And nothing else will be quite big enough or firm enough to be able to do that. One of the things that has happened in our world very much today is that we have gone away from the idea of God really being the creator. We usually tend to think more as though the world was always there. It always existed. And whenever we think of God, we think of him as somehow inside that world. And we don't look at the fact that God was the creator of the world and stands beyond it. That's an almost impossible concept for us to get a hold of, that somehow God is beyond the universe. Because we think of the universe as infinite, and nothing can be beyond infinity. For me, one of the helpful ways of looking at that was a science fiction book my high school math teacher gave me called Flatland. And it was about life in two dimensions, basically like a life in a flat plane. And he described the whole social structure of life in that flat plane. And everybody in the plane were squares, rectangles, triangles. It was the most regular figures that were the most highly sought after. You were higher up on a social scale if you were exactly a square rather than a rectangle. If you had your sides at unusual angles, then you weren't very high in the social structure. And he went all the way through the social structure and explained about life in two dimensions. Then a cube came into that flat land. And everybody saw him as a square because they would just sort of see one slice of the cube in the square. But the cube had amazing properties. He could be at one place and then disappear and appear somewhere else. And they'd asked him, where did you go? And he said, I went up. I went up out of the plane. And I went up, went over here, came back down again. And so a good deal of the book was then trying for the cube to explain to Flatlanders what up meant. Because all they knew was north, south, east, and west. They didn't know up. And up actually transcends the plane. Now, that kind of gets your mind going in the right direction. But in a way, if you could somehow go out of the three-dimensional universe we live in, then you would transcend it. And somehow, that's where God is. As he is the one who made this three-dimensional universe that we live in. And he is beyond it. And it's nothing in the universe that will give us enough meaning to be able to fulfill our life. And the fact that God is the creator gives him moral authority in the universe. And I think one of the reasons that we are having trouble with moral authority today is because we've abandoned the idea of God being the creator, of God being the one who put it all together. And if he put it all together, he's the one who should know how it operates. Whenever you get a new computer or a new appliance, usually as the last resort, you read the directions. When you're trying to hook up the wires on your computer, you finally read the directions. And why do you think the directions will do you any good? Are the people who wrote them smarter than you? Maybe, maybe not. The advantage that they had is they built the thing you're trying to operate. So they know how it operates. The same type of thing is true about God's commandments. The reason that we find them relevant and helpful is because basically we know that God made the whole thing. He made the whole universe. And so the moral basis for the law of God is in creation. And when you give up the idea of God being creator, fairly soon the moral basis begins to dissolve and filter away. That's pretty much where we are. People are kind of looking around for a moral basis. One thing we try to do is try to convince them how smart it is to follow the moral basis that God did, but we'd probably be better off if we started emphasizing the idea that God is the creator. That's the reason why he knows how things best operate.